This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello, great to be with you.
And boy, we've got a topic today that is really important. And at first glance, you may think it's something that only affects other people, but I think as we progress, you'll find out that, gee, it affects us all.
This month, September, is National Suicide Prevention Month, and joining us to talk about this in studio are our guests, Christine Turo Shields and Kelsey Stewart with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Good to be here. Thanks.
And I'd like each of you to talk a little bit about the organization that you work for and the mission and the roles that you play. So maybe let's start with you, Kelsey.
Thanks for having us. So the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is the largest private funder of suicide prevention research in the world, which sounds amazing, but it also is a little sad because we're small, so there's a lot of work to still be done. Christine and I are part of the Indiana chapter, so okay. We are a statewide chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and we also have chapters in all 50 states as well. So if there are listeners who have family or loved ones in other parts of the country, we also have AFSB resources and everything throughout this country as well.
And Christine, you work as a licensed therapist. Talk about that and who you work for.
So I'm a licensed clinical social worker, okay. And I sit on the state board for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Additionally, I own my own private practice. I co-own that with my husband, Kenosis Counseling Center, and I also work under the IU Health Physician System. So I serve as a therapist doing outpatient mental health counseling.
So how did you both get involved in this issue of suicide? I mean, have you had a personal situation involving suicide, and do you want to talk about that?
So I lost my dad by suicide when I was 11, and I found out later that he lost his father, so my grandfather, and then my great-grandmother. So it's three generations on my paternal side. And I got involved with AFSP when I was 25. So we went 13 years, not knowing that there were other families directly affected by suicide and not knowing that there were resources or that prevention was a part of suicide and the dialogue that needs to be happening in the community. So I got involved in 2015 and haven't looked back since.
Good for you. And Christine, have you had any experience with this?
Yeah, my first experience with suicide was actually when I was in high school. I went to Trinity High School back in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And our senior year, one of our fellow students died by suicide. And I remember the question that was on all of our hearts was, is he going to hell? Because at that point, we had always been told that suicide is the unforgivable sin. And my religion teacher, Sister Ann Christopher, just gave such a gentle, compassionate response. And she said, my God would never commit someone to hell on earth. Excuse me. My God would never commit somebody to eternal hell if they've lived hell on earth. And at that point, it was just so profound for me that individuals who get to that point have been struggling. And so later in life, in 1992, my brother-in-law took his own life. And then last year, I had a cousin who also died by suicide. So it's personally touched my life. And then additionally, I've had four or five clients die by suicide. So with each death and then my work with AFSP and probably in the last 5 years, it's just a reinforcement of we need a compassionate response to those who are survivors of suicide loss and also a greater understanding of mental health in order to focus on our prevention efforts.
Now, I noticed that twice in your what you just said there, you said died by suicide as opposed to committed suicide. That's getting to be a more common way to look at it, isn't it?
Absolutely, because the word committed, you know, AFSP is really invested in having accurate language used when we're talking about this health issue and this, you know, national crisis we're in. Committed suicide implies that there was intention, that there was clarity of thought, which is not the case, right? An individual is not in their right mind when they take action to end their life, because that actually goes against our nature as humans. So we talk about death by suicide, completed suicide. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were referring to, lost their life by their own hand.
And I think, if we want to talk about, someone going to hell or not, obviously that's God's decision. But the bottom line is, to commit a mortal sin, it has to be a free will decision. And I think, as we're learning more about mental health, that I think we realize that, and this is not my area, but you can confirm this or clarify this, that people are not really making a free will decision when they're committing suicide, because they have such, whether it's anxiety or some kind of mental health situation. I mean, you want to talk a little bit more about that? And in fact, let me reintroduce you. We're talking with Christine Turo Shields and Kelsey Stewart, and we're talking about suicide prevention. Okay, go ahead and answer that question.
Yeah, so we know through research that about 90% of people who die by suicide or attempt suicide have an underlying mental health condition, whether it's treated, mistreated, or untreated. We also know too that for every one person that dies by suicide, there are also 25 other people who attempt and live. And so that is important too, because it shows that if we are able to create time and space and place in between people's thoughts of suicide and that action, that we can save lives and we can intervene and start to prevent and hopefully reduce the numbers of people being that we're losing.
So people that are Catholic, you think, people that are Catholic or have a faith, they're immune to suicide, but that's kind of false, right? It doesn't really matter if you're Catholic whether you're more prone or less prone to suicide. Can you talk about maybe suicide, maybe from a Catholic perspective, I guess, maybe some things that have happened or some efforts to assist people that either have had someone commit suicide and or prevention?
Complete suicide.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you.
Well, and that is so common.
It is.
It becomes just a training of it. And I try to gently.
Gotta retrain my mouth, right?
We all did. It's a learning.
Yeah. So first and foremost, understanding that mental health issues are just health issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? And
just like if you've got a heart condition or
absolutely.
You tear your ACL or whatever.
Right. We go to an expert, right?
I got a toothache.
And there's a lot of things we can do in that prevention mode, and one of them is breaking down the stigma of that it's okay to reach out for help. It's okay to talk to your doctor. It's okay to go see a therapist. It's okay to get on medication. Now, not everybody needs that, mm-hmm. right? Some people are able to manage their depression or anxiety by exercise. There's a lot that we can do holistically. But when someone is struggling, what happens is there's, I think, the sense of independence in our world, where at least in our American culture, where we think we should do things on our own, mm-hmm. in terms of mental health.
Do you think that there is still a stigma, or do you think that that has lessened over time as people more and more do talk about, I have anxiety or I have whatever, just go get it fixed,
I think it's both.
Okay. Yes, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, because we're breaking it down. We're talking about it more. And yet, when I sit in front of a client and they say, and this happens on a weekly basis, I hear all the time, I have no reason to be depressed. Mm-hmm. And I will say, would you ever say, I have no reason to have cancer? I have no reason to have heart disease.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I have no reason to be diabetic or epileptic, right? We distinguish as if there is something people are doing. And there's strong genetic predisposition with mental illness, whether you're mm-hmm. talking about anxiety, depression, bipolar. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that becomes really important. A statement that I just recently heard and I loved is understanding that depression is not a mood, it is a malady, mm-hmm. right? It is a condition that needs to be treated. Mm-hmm. And when people come in and say, well, I really want to do this on my own, would you try to lower your blood pressure on your own? Maybe you would make some efforts, but if it's not coming down, at some point you're going to seek professional care. And that's the message we need to get out to people. And that happens to Catholics. That happens to people that, just like we know overdose deaths happen. It's impacting all of our lives at every socioeconomic level, mm-hmm. every faith, every walk of life, every profession. Some of the highest professions are physicians, and there's a lot of efforts that are going in that direction. And we certainly know our military, right? Mm-hmm. So it has far reaches. And suicide happens to be the second leading cause of death in the state of Indiana.
For yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. 15, where do we fit?
15 to 34 years old in the state of Indiana.
And accidents are number one, which that's where overdoses fall. And there's definitely comorbidity between substance use disorder and suicidal ideation, mental health disorders. And so there's a joint effort between AFSP here locally with a lot of other non-profits that are doing amazing things in the community to try and rally together to save lives holistically.
What about some numbers on a national level? How prominent is suicide on a national level and on a state level?
Yeah, so we are working very closely with the national reporting for deaths to get accurate reporting. So part of the issue in the past is that just deaths in general, we didn't have standardized reporting. But within the last couple decades, we've been able to get accurate reporting. Well, we've lost over 47,000 Americans by suicide. And that is by suicide. There are accidents that might not be marked that way, so we know the numbers are higher. We also know that there are certain communities, too, where if, you know, by chance if they know the coroner, things might be skewed a little bit, and that's not to say that that's the case always, but we know that those numbers are could be a little bit higher than what the numbers are showing. So close to 50,000. But of those 50,000, those are who are dying, but like I said prior, for every one death by suicide, we know from research that there are about 25 other attempts. So there are hundreds of thousands of Americans attempting suicide, as well as thousands of Hoosiers as well.
Now, on an annual basis, is the number growing or shrinking?
It is increasing across the board in terms of socioeconomic status and age as well. Right now we're losing at a very rapid rate African-American youth, both nationally and here locally in our Hoosier state, as well as youth in general. That age gap is, or that age range is going up as well for attempts and loss by suicide, as well as other populations as well.
So we're going to need to take a break here shortly, but before we do, I want to ask a question. Is there a sense of what is causing the increase in suicide?
It's a great question. So another thing that we know from research is that it's never just one single cause. So if we see the headline, it's, you know, they had a divorce, or she lost her job, or something like that. And so we know that it's never one single cause. Our chief medical officer for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Christine Moutier, likes to call it the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. So generally, like Christine Turo Shields shared, there is an underlying mental health condition on top of many other stressors that are environmental, historical, so they could be family history or things like that, and then also other stress factors that play into that, to the culmination of the attempt or the death by suicide.
Okay, well, that's a really good answer on that, and I'm glad you clarified that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I think we're going to talk about some things of what we can do to prevent suicide. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest? Or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do. Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Besides going to Mass every Sunday, we are all encouraged to spend some time with our Lord each week, to shut out distractions, present our prayers to God, and then just listen. In today's hectic world, that sounds impossible, doesn't it? Well, chances are, there's an adoration chapel in a Catholic church not far from where you live. A place where you can spend an hour or just a few minutes in the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. In a quiet, peaceful atmosphere where you can really talk to Jesus. And more importantly, He can talk to you. Many chapels are open 24 hours a day. Here are some of the places you'll find adoration chapels. at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, St. Alphonsus in Zionsville, St. Louis de Montfort in Fishers, and St. Maria Goretti in Westfield. Why don't you stop by soon? Jesus is there, and he's waiting to talk to you.
Listening to this radio was really like the jump start of me getting to know Jesus.
This is a station that led me to Christ.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and our guests in the studio are Christine Turow-Shields and Kelsey Stewart. And we're talking about suicide prevention. And the question I have is, can suicide really be prevented?
Absolutely. We know that suicide can be prevented. It can be intervened upon. When someone is in a mental health crisis, one of the first things you can do is access support. Just like if somebody were having chest pains or a heart attack, we would immediately access support. So one of the things people can do if you're in an emergent crisis is, number one, stay with them, keep them safe, and keep them away from lethal means, right?
Would you actually ask the person, are you considering taking your life?
Absolutely. There's that myth that if I ask, I'm going to put a thought into somebody's mind, which is absolutely not correct. If you would ask somebody, are you thinking about killing yourself? They're either going to say no or yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Because when we do trainings, there's a variety of trainings that we provide to people, which is how to give them the language to have those conversations. There's also a national campaign called Seize the Awkward. You can go online and see some of those videos, which it's how to bring up those conversations. But asking directly becomes very important, so that individuals, it's as if they are giving an invitation, mm-hmm. but oftentimes those invitations are indirect, and we don't want people to miss them or dismiss them or avoid. So ask the question if you think the person is at risk of hurting themselves. Now, the other thing, and I just said hurting themselves, it's important to ask directly, are you thinking about killing yourself? Because to even say, are you thinking about hurting yourself? If you stop there, if at that moment their brain thinks that that's the best solution to relieve their pain, they don't view that as hurting, mm-hmm. right? They see that as a relief.
Mm, okay.
Anything else you want to say, Kelsey?
Yeah, I would say too, I mean, perfect to segue to that, that for those people who have lost somebody by suicide. So we're talking about prevention, but we also need to touch a little bit on those who are lost survivors, mm-hmm. Which Christine and myself both are lost survivors. And you run through the, you know, the hindsight of then they go through these
could
trainings.
I should have, you know,
and all of the things that, you know, we missed, dismissed, and avoided as for people that we loved. And we only know what we know in the moment.
Sure.
And that's why it's important for people now before maybe they're, you know, we have a lot of people who haven't been affected by suicide to go through those trainings. I have CPR training. I've never had to give it, and I hope that I never do. Similarly to having these skills to do suicide prevention alertness training, and then also the intervention skills trainings that we offer. I hope that nobody ever needs to use them, but to have those tools so that we can prevent it is critical. And just for those lost survivors out there to know that they loved their loved ones the way that they needed to. And, you know, we know more from research each and every single day, because this is still a new thing that we're tackling, and it's not their fault if they lost somebody that they loved.
Now, you were talking that it's okay to ask that question, but prior to asking that question, what kind of symptoms or signs should you look for to know that that might even be appropriate to ask?
So as we had said, about 90% of individuals who take their life by suicide have had a mental health issue, again, whether diagnosed or undiagnosed. So, you know, probably the three conditions that are most prevalent are depression, anxiety, and bipolar disorder. And so understanding if there's a shift in mood, if there's lack of energy, if there's emotional disconnect, because, you know, there are some factors that come together And emotional social isolation is one of them. Mm-hmm. And so if people begin to pull away, or if they're making statements of the futility of life, or I'd be better off dead.
Feeling like a burden.
Absolutely, feeling like a burden. And then sometimes, you know, we hear about individuals beginning to send, you know, random text messages saying goodbye or thanking someone or giving away items, right? Those are all probably later stage issues, but breaking down that stigma and responding to somebody, you know, that with anxiety, one of the most prevalent symptoms is mental looping. It's these racing thoughts, and they can be very negativistic and self-deprecating and worrisome. And so intervening early on is really the best prevention. Mm-hmm. Just like we know heart health and, you know, taking care of yourself with eating right foods can help hold off diabetes, right? We know prevention and healthy living. So exercise becomes important, encouraging somebody to be active. But getting them to a professional if they are in crisis and if you are worried. And I tell people all the time, oftentimes they'll say, you know, I don't want them to be mad at me. And I just pretty matter-of-factly say, I would rather your friend or your loved one be mad than dead. It's really not a question. It's always going to err on the side of safety and love and concern.
And on that note too, one of my biggest fears or concerns was that somebody would be upset. You know, I'm being nosy and I'm getting into my neighbor's business, or I'm touching on, you know, my friend's relationship and noticing things, and that's not my business. But when it comes to suicide, it's everybody's business. And I was, you know, worried about people being upset or mad at me, and never once in all of the times that I've either checked in on a friend and maybe it wasn't as serious as suicide or had to do some interventions, they've never been mad. It's been a relief of, you notice these things about me. So one thing that you touched on when asked was, you know, how do you notice? And that's why it's important for all of us to be trained, because I know my pod of people, you know, better than I would know Christine's. And so maybe there are some outlying things that are concerning to me that are very obvious, but she would know notice the subtle things about her family and friends, and I would know the same thing for mine. And so to be able to say, you know, hey, I've noticed that you were late to work and you're always on time. I noticed that you, you know, haven't washed your hair, and I've noticed that you've been really short-tempered, or I noticed that you haven't been hanging out with your grandma the way that you normally do, and I'm a little concerned. And so that does several things. When we pull out the things that are concerning us, it shows that person that we're watching them and noticing them and caring about them. So that reinforces that they matter and that we care about them. But two, it helps them kind of see what behaviors they might be displaying that they think they might be covering up or trying to mask so that they aren't a burden to us. So it has a twofold aspect too. And then if they're struggling with the seeking help, we can revisit those things of, well, I'm still worried about these things about you, and maybe it is just being overwhelmed or stressful or things like that. But that's, people still need us for those types of things. It doesn't have to be as serious as suicide for us to reach out to one another and reconnect and try to help one another navigate all the stressful things that impact us daily.
Now, are there certain stages of life or times of life when this is occurs more frequently?
I think it can be different. Certainly, we know with the age population of 15 to 34, obviously, the college population oftentimes sees an increase with suicide attempts and depression and anxiety moving away from home. We also know with our military coming back from deployment or leaving active duty can be a high-risk time. Other times you can think of, Kales?
So we also have a very, specifically in Indiana, but also nationally, our elderly population is at an increased suicide rate as well. So it is transitional times, but one of the trainings that we focus on too is if we only look at the times of transition and focus on those people, then we miss all of those outlying things. So there are hot spots of when it can be, but it certainly is vast enough that we can't just hone in on those hot spots, if that makes sense.
We only have about 3 minutes left, so let's talk about resources, and then you also have a walks across Indiana that people can participate in. Go ahead and give us some resources, Christine.
So some of the resources, especially in the Catholic community, there's been retreats at Fatima that have been held for suicide survivors. AFSP has a variety of support groups for survivors of suicide loss. You can find those on the website at afsp.indiana.org. And additionally, there's the SAM ministry, Substance Abuse Ministry, that holds masses throughout the year at different churches. And also there's a mental health ministry that holds masses. So there's ways to get involved, and reaching out to the Archdiocese, as well as checking out resources at AFSP.
Mm-hmm. And Kelsey, tell us about the walks that have been going on.
Yeah, so our Out of the Darkness walks, we have statewide. So in the springtime, we have our campus walks. So that's when a lot of our awesome college students put on walks all across the their campuses. And then in the fall, we have our community walks. So we just recently held the Indianapolis Out of the Darkness walk, that we had almost close to over 4,000 walkers at White River State Plaza. So if you walked with us, thank you very much. And if you missed that opportunity, we have several coming up throughout the rest of September and then early October as well.
Kelsey, could you give the webpage so that if people want to get more information about your organization and or participate in a walk or even maybe sign up for a training, where can they get that information?
Yeah, so our national website is afsp.org, and that's where you can find your local chapter and all sorts of other resources for loss survivors. If you're worried about somebody, blogs and things like that. And then to find our local Indiana chapter, it's afsp.org/Indiana. And on that, under events, you can find our walks that are coming up, our trainings that we have posted from our awesome volunteers that dedicate their time to helping save lives and bring hope to those affected by suicide.
So we've been talking about suicide prevention. Christine, you had one last thing to add?
I was going to say, also on the website, you can find the listing of support groups for survivors of suicide loss.
That's also very important. Our guests today have been Christine Turow-Shields and Kelsey Stewart with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Thanks so much for being our guest today. If you could give that webpage one more time.
It is afsp.org.
Thanks so much, and God bless you. And people can get some training and learn more about suicide prevention.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.